Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your...
What did Mike P say?
Fuck them.
I think he did say that. And you know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Philip, we had a weekend ahead of us. We had a weekend. There's way too many things we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to say something real quick right now. The way my schedule is I'm going to be at least two events. We have very good friends called the Nuggets out of California. They're having a run. I don't know if I can get a third run in on the same day. For my friends the Nuggets, I hope you have a fantastic run. You have our support. And we just said... Philip and I have a kind of a political thing we have to do with a club early, and then we may go do the event at the authorized dealership in the afternoon.
Right.
And I just don't know if my schedule's getting tight. I don't know if you can get away the same day. So to all the Nuggets, gentlemen, we hope you have a great time. We apologize if we can't make it. But too many gosh darn things going on here for us. But it's beautiful weather.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, is it beautiful weather out there.
And a lot of people out there, they don't like when we tell them about the weather here. You know why?
Why is it they don't like about here?
You can't handle the truth.
I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Wonderful states, but I'm telling you, where Philip and I live in San Diego, we're blessed. We're absolutely blessed. And I can be in 45 minutes, we can be in the mountains of the snow. An hour and a half, Philip and I can be in the desert. 15 minutes, we can be in the ocean. And 50 minutes, we can be in Mexico.
Yep.
That's
45.
45 if traffic just get out of my way.
Yeah.
I got to say, everybody, I'm not rubbing my nose in. I'm just saying we're blessed where we are.
We're just letting you know.
You can't handle the truth.
That's right.
So what?
What?
You have Nora and Stacy on the phone.
Nora and Stacy's on the phone. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
How
hi, Stacy. Hi, Phil. Hi, Bill.
Voices. Good to hear your voices.
Hey, you know, Stacy, I got three emails already. Want to know who Cecil is?
Hey, you just tell him. Look, that's my personal story, and that's a story for another time. You guys know what's up with that, and we'll just leave it all at that.
Why is it I feel I never know what's going on with all you people? I'm the last one who knows anything. You guys
know
secrets.
You
guys got secrets.
How about this one? You just don't remember.
Yeah, so I was going to say, a show many months back, the two of you were having a field day goofing on me about it. So,
coming back now.
You just said Bean.
Beanie and Cecil. Cecil. Now it's coming back. I'm sorry. Yeah. Now, we were telling earlier a few minutes ago we have three runs to go on Saturday, and we're going to try to make two of them, I think. I don't want to try to make the third run because, in fact, I'll simply be burnt out when I get there. I want to kind of relax, enjoying myself. There's too much stuff. I love California, but there are times I feel like we're social butterflies, which is a rarity because you and I may do both runs together. And there are times when we simply have to be in different parts of the state, so... I'm enjoying that.
Fran said she's having trouble hearing the show, so she's going to try a different browser.
We want to say our good friends in Nevada, the Iron Crossmen, they're at the party with us in Arizona, and their club was five of us who were hospitalized because of an accident. A girl turned illegally left in front of them. There was a party last week in Las Vegas, and I got a phone call. They said the president of the club has opened his eyes, and he's talking now. So our prayers go out to the Iron Crossmen out of Nevada. And, of course, they invited you and I for the Las Vegas Bike Fest. They're going to try to get all the injured crossmen and everybody in Las Vegas at their clubhouse. So You now make that one. We'll try to take pictures for everybody.
But just the, let's see. This one's been, people have been asking about this one, though, so I'll just play this video if you want to read the introduction.
I would, but my glasses aren't on. So stall for a bit one. Down here, police brutality. Recording the police is dangerous but necessary. We support the police, but when you find a rogue cop, you have to call him to task. We believe recording devices, because if you're not doing nothing wrong, you got nothing to hide. Right, brother?
Correct.
So let's get this La Bamba here.
Get your cameras out, man.
Shocked if what the police did to Rodney King was something completely alien
everything those cops did, they've done to someone else when there were no video cameras. They've done it, and they've gotten away with it. They know just how much assault and battery their department will let them commit. They know just how many false arrests their department will let them do. They know just how much latitude their department...
Bill, this guy here... He flew out the window.
He was unconscious.
He flew out the window in the minivan. There's five guys beating the shit out of him right now.
The only good thing about it, he is unconscious. He's not going to feel it. He wakes up.
And they do it because they know they will get away with it. None of the officers who cross the line will be disciplined in any way. None of them will be charged with the assaults and batteries that they committed. None of them will be charged with the false arrests. None of them will lose a day's pay. The police department doesn't need an investigation to figure out what happened. The department has already said the officers acted appropriately. Case closed. That's it. If the department does, by some miracle, by some chance, discipline anyone for what happened, I would have immediately rewrite what would then be my mistaken presumption to me that American police have once again gotten away with another crime against the American people they are sworn to serve and protect.
In some cases, an accurate reporting of a police encounter changes everything. Graver was riding his motorcycle on I-95, taping the experience with a helmet on his camera. The first officer that approached Graver did so with a gun drawn and badge not visible. For the first 4 seconds of this encounter, it looks like a carjacking.
Get off the motorcycle. State police. Excuse me. Put
charged with 4 felonies, Bill. Faced a maximum of 16 years in prison if convicted on all charges.
On another level, it's troubling because citizens have a constitutional right to record the activities of their officials. Since the law has been created on an amateur video camera, American police officers have known video cameras are their worst enemies. They will do anything they can to stop you from legally videotaping how they handle their responsibility to serve and protect you.
Who's making us sounds in there? Who's out there? Who's making that strange hook sound out there? Tell Sweetheart where you're calling from, please. Well, I guess not.
Go ahead.
Talk to me.
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just want to hear you speak to me.
Hello. Dr. Love.
I'm kind of concerned. If we ever get the cameras, does that mean you finally have to find them wearing clothes when you do this show?
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
All right. I just wondering about that.
Oh, my God.
I bet you, you know, because right now this little partition we have between us is not, I'm not real comfortable with it, but as long as you're on your side of the partition, I'm okay.
Yeah.
So someday if we get the cameras, maybe you'll have to start wearing clothes.
Yeah.
Well, I can honestly say this. The rest of us are safe. Unless if you guys figure out how to put cameras in our house and we're in trouble.
Good news for you. You got a cable box?
Yep.
They can see in your house.
I already know. Find it ridiculous.
here's another one, though. This is an Iraq war veteran. He gets tasered and beat down at the airport. He gets tasered and beat down at the airport.
Can I ask you again, what state, what city we're talking for each show to show? Do you know?
No.
Good.
It doesn't say what state.
Is this a news channel from?
He fought in Iraq, only to be attacked here on U.S. soil.
I'm defending my life here.
A soldier squares off with Metro Police at McCarran International Airport. You won't believe what happened next.
Here we go. We know that.
The look in his eyes was just rage.
It is a violent clash caught on video. You will only see it right here on Action News.
And tonight it has the Metro Police Department facing some tough questions about its use of force. Action News reporter Ben DC has more in an exclusive Contact 13 investigation.
It's NASCAR weekend, just days before Sergeant Mark England's National Guard unit is about to deploy. England comes to Las Vegas for a little fun before going off to war, but ends up finding himself in combat right here. Blow after blow. In the middle of McCarran Airport, the man swinging in this grainy video is a Metro cop. But is the man he's hitting a criminal or a security threat?
This is the Army Commendation Medal that I received for my service in Iraq.
Sergeant Mark England has seen more combat than many in the National Guard. He served in Bosnia and more recently Iraq. He's a medic.
We saw, you know, sick people, hurt people, did that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or we went on patrol with line units where we went out looking for the insurgents.
But Mark's wife, Juliana, said she's most troubled by the violence he faced here on American soil.
I was concerned because after I saw him and knew the injuries he had, that they didn't check him out. You know, they slapped a couple Band-Aids on him and said, c'est la vie.
Now, see it for yourself for the first time in this video shot by security cameras at McCarran Airport. That's Mark England. When he tries to make it through security with a bottle of Sprite, a TSA agent pulls him out of line and then pulls rank on him.
So he goes, well, you're a sergeant in the Army. I go, yes, sir. And he goes, well, I'm a lieutenant in the Army.
When England asks to see his military ID, the TSA agent refuses.
And I looked at him and I said, sir, with all due respect, that's effed up. Using the big F word.
England
the big F word.
The end of it. Until he got to his gate and found out his plane had left without him. He says the soldier in him wanted answers. So he went back to talk with the TSA supervisor.
It was important to him. I said, let it go. You know, he's probably just some jerk that works at the airport.
Juliana England says it's hard for her to think about what happened next. This is the surveillance video, and that's the Metro cop who came over when Mark England returned to the security checkpoint. He walks England off screen, but we pick him up on a different camera. There they are at the top of your picture. Watch as the Metro officer pulls out his police baton. With a flourish, spins the weapon and starts to swing.
The look in his eyes was just rage.
The beating is severe, according to England. He says he came away with a black and bloodied eye, three fractured ribs, cuts and scrapes all over his arms. And it's not long before the Metro officer has backup. That's his help running through the picture, and that's a taser gun he's drawing. Watch again as England's body crumples to the ground. That's when he says he was hit by the taser's crippling bolt of electricity.
It's indescribable. It's every single nerve cell in your body being lit on fire.
England claims the officer shot him not once, but three times with the taser gun. In a statement today, Metro told me it's all the subject of a, quote, ongoing internal affairs investigation. They said, we reviewed the surveillance tape and do not believe our officers acted outside policy.
Wow.
Until now, we've been focusing on that confrontation here at the top of the screen. But the airport security camera isn't the only witness to all of this. Here in the foreground, a third Metro officer has arrived, and he reacts much differently than you or I would to what he's seeing. The Metro officer is talking to a TSA agent about what's happening. You can see him mimic England's collapse with his hand, and then practically skip away from the conversation.
Yeah,
they're just laughing about it.
It's been 2 months since Sergeant Mark England had his run-in with Metro Police. He still hasn't been charged with any crime. And he says he hasn't been able to deploy back to Iraq either, partly because of the injuries he got here at McCarran Airport.
The weekend before I'm supposed to ship out my guys, I get my ribs caved in, and now I'm non-deployable.
Meanwhile, others involved are still on the job, even while Metro's internal investigation is continuing.
Well, they are investigating, so they can't put the cops off until they finish investigation. I wonder if we'll ever hear the final results of that. No.
I don't know. What do you guys think of that IRS scam?
Oh, our
medical
president.
Records.
Do you believe our president is mad, or do you think that's a scam too?
I don't know. I'm just pissed that it took place. Who knows his records are at? We're at jeopardy, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to the president.
I don't know if the president is involved or not. All I know is when I, you know, saw the thing in regards with the IRS and how the lawsuit's going to go because of medical records, I'm thinking, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know? And are they going to be honest enough to let you know if it's your records that they have?
Do you think anybody's going to get in jailed on this? You think anybody's going to get fined, or you think this is going to be swept under the rug?
I don't. Well, if there is somebody, they'll probably have someone that'll go down for it.
Scapegoat.
You know, a scapegoat, correct. But anything else, I doubt it.
Yeah.
The government.
Well, the president doesn't want any bad publicity right now anyway, so.
I
try to follow this on TV, and the president seemed generally upset and mad. I hope that he's not involved in anything. I hope it's just crazy stuff, but it brings up a good program. Who's going to do the investigation? Are we going to let government investigate the IRS?
The government checks on the government. Well, the chairman for the IRS that was in that area that's being looked upon, he's retiring now. All of a sudden, as of June 3rd. Wow.
Every time the government does something wrong, the government does investigation, the government, I believe, covers it up. I don't know what happened. Let me ask you this. Go back a couple years. Tell me when you started to lose confidence in the greatest country in the world. First, let me tell you, for me, it was just after the JFK assassination when I started wondering about all this conspiracy stuff. But let me ask you, when did you start not trusting the government. How far back can you think?
Over 18 years ago.
18 years? What happened? What time period?
No, I'm talking about over 18 years ago. You know, I had an issue with private insurance, you know, in regards to on a bill. And when I called to, you know, get information about it, go further, dig further into it, you know, they just swept it out. I'm like, how can you do this? How can you overcharge people and get away with it? You
right.
know, of course, we know it's what they do. You know, I'm being honest. I said, look, I was being charged for something I can't use. What is your problem? Take it off the bill. And, you know, it just, I don't know. I mean, it's just how I felt for a long
mm-hmm.
time, not just because of insurance, but because of other issues. You know, here I have a daughter that is on state insurance because my grandson that needs surgery that he has to have, okay? And now all the sudden they're saying he's developmentally not up to where he should be, okay? So they want him to go for physical therapy. That's $200 on my daughter's pocket that she doesn't have. Now, if the state insurance is supposed to be so fantastic here, why doesn't it cover it?
Right.
It's a child. He's 6 months old. What is he going to do? You know? And the surgeons have already said, we don't know how he's going to be until after surgery. So prematurely, if they want to do physical therapy before he has surgery, what is the point here? We're not understanding it, and nobody wants to say anything except, hey, this is going to cost you $200 a session.
My wife was in the hospital. She get out on, let's say she got out on the 3rd, just to say a date. I was looking at the bills, and they charged her for medicines and stuff on the 4th. So I called the insurance company up and I said, I think there's a major issue here because my wife left the hospital the day before and she's still being charged with everything. And the insurance company says, oh, don't worry about that. That's common. We do that as a filler. I said, she wasn't in the hospital. She's taking aspirin. She has therapy. She left the hospital 24 hours ago and they said, okay, that's okay. And I kept telling them, but I don't think it is okay.
Right.
Why are they thinking that, you know, that they just get away with that? That's just wrong. If you and I did something like that, that happens in court or something.
Oh, exactly.
And don't get me going about insurance companies because they raped
my mother
old last year. You know, she's home now and we're still having issues with them. But, you know, what they did to us last year, I'm not even going to go down that road.
I don't blame you. It's pathetic, you know. And like I said, where does it stop? Where does somebody sit there and step in and say, hey, IRS has to be accountable for what has taken place. Insurance companies have to be accountable for what they've done. You know, I have a mortgage lender that I dealt with that finally, after I don't know how many years, was brought into a federal court under a multi-million-dollar lawsuit. Okay. How long did it take for them to be brought into a federal court amongst 13 other lenders? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, by the time something happens, the shit's so old, it's crazy.
You know, they say the insurance company truly is the most powerful organization in all of America. I every year I find that's getting to be more and more and more true. They're telling you, like, even I sell motorcycles. When I'm done with selling the motorcycles, I sell you a 2-year warranty. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
I know. You're raped no matter where you go or whatever you have to deal with, period.
I just wish that, again, we could go back to the time when my grandparents were alive when we were proud to say we're Americans.
Yeah.
Now, having China running and controlling everything, how can I look my children in the face and my grandchildren and say how democracy is great and communism is bad when in reality we're borrowing all the money from China?
Right.
All these American corporations doing, it's not illegal, but it's doing immoral actions in China by opening up these warehouses.
I know.
I don't know.
Well, it's just, people just don't have respect for the ground they walk upon, because if all them big aristocratical flavor savers there, the big wigs, didn't move all their companies overseas to make, more bucks in their pocket, we'd have a good, growing, strong economy. And, that's just like, look at apprenticeships. Those have gone out the window, too. You can get an apprenticeship after you got a 2 to 4 year degree. Someone will show you an apprenticeship. You know, back in the day when my dad was young, here's a prime example. And Phil, you might be able to relate to this. I don't know. My dad worked at General Dynamics over here in Quincy, Mass, when it was open back in the 70s and stuff. And he went from, like, high school right over to there. There was no college. There was no welding course. There was no anything. And they taught him how to weld nuclear submarines. And that's what he did. That's what he did for many, many years. You can't find people to say, hey, you know what? You had pretty good grades in high school. I see you got, for the last year, you've done decent at your little job. I'm going to give you a break, and I'm going to teach you a skill that maybe you can pass on to somebody else, and it's going to take you further in life. Because I look at it, too many people are suing. I understand if you need to sue, that's okay. But, for ridiculous stuff, therefore people turn around and they want college-educated people because they feel that, once a person has more smarts in their head, they're not apt to fuck up, and therefore we don't get no lawsuits. But, it's just a vicious, vicious cycle. And, if you go back to, my grandmother, when she passed away, she was, 94, 95 years old. Her whole family worked in the same mill in Fall River, Mass. They were all from age 14 on. And it was one person in the family teaching the next person. And regardless, they watched the 40-hour work week come into play, Social Security, the whole nine yards. But things were taught to you. If you wanted to work, it would be taught to you. You'd have a well-respected job. You'd be a stand-up person in society. And now it's like people won't even look at you. And another thing that really gets me going is the fact that you'll have, a man maybe with a four-year education, and there's no work, he can't find anything, but McDonald's is hiring, and they'll sit down and have an interview with him, and they'll say, you're overqualified. That's a smack in the face, too. If the man's got a family to support, he's college-educated, give him a freaking job. Obviously, he's going to be an asset to your corporation. Don't tell him he's overqualified and kick him even harder when he's down. I don't understand, what's happening nowadays.
I wish that we would have something like a trade school hooked up with a regular school, because I know that I played sports all through school. I literally live, breathe all that crap. I went to college. I took theater classes. I took speech classes. I really wish that...
You took all the easy shit to get out of school, huh?
All I did was talk all day long, But I wish that I would have had a chance to go to a trade school. I can't even cook. I wish somewhere in school they would have said, hey, you've got enough football, basketball, hockey, track, baseball. You've got enough of that stuff in there. You need to learn how to cook. You need to learn how to weld. You need to learn a trade. I think that we're upside down with the school and the fact that we have all these athletes programs going on. Now, I know the schools, the colleges, make a lot of money from the athletes, but I was a very good athlete. I'm never going to be a pro anything. But I spent an awful lot of time in school preparing for the sports world, and it wasn't there for me. I think that we should maybe cut back on all this exercise programs. I think we should cut back on all this recess and cut back on all this stuff, and let's make our students more well-rounded. What do you think about that, Philip?
Well, it's just like this, Bill. I'm going to show you this here. I just posted this on the blog. This is your motivational poster of the day. Because I just couldn't resist this one, though. This picture is the current headline on the Newswire right now. You want to read what that says?
It says, seeking cover?
Covering your ass. The number one thing expected of the United States Marines when no one else will.
Exactly. We've talked
about
that. You want
to describe that picture?
Well, we have the a very, very ramrod-type Marine holding an umbrella over our, not president, this guy, I'm going to use a commander-in-chief.
Yeah.
He's also the president and all that. So he's giving them cover from the sun, but we're reminding everybody
rain, sun,
who the hell cares? The point is, though, that we need people like the Marines to go out there. Like Jack Nicholson said, we need people out there standing on the wall. We take the Marines for granted. Every day we take them for granted. And yet, when combat happens, they're the ones who go out there laying their life on the line.
First off.
They're coming back here, missing an arm, missing a leg. They're coming back and trying to adjust. And it seems like the Marine Corps will always, always draw those type of people, superheroes, that go there to get prepared to give their life. I sometimes think that we expect the Marines to do it. We get used to doing them like that. I give them a lot of credit, as I give everybody, all armed forces credit. They expect that these people are going to do that. Excuse me, folks. I don't think that I feel the same about the Marine Corps as I did 20 years ago. How do you feel? May I ask you that? You're a former Marine.
Same.
You feel the same? Okay, I'm going to say right now, I don't see the same walk as I did 20 years in the Marines. I don't see the same esprit de corps. I think that the new Marines are different. Not that they're better or worse, but I just think they're different. You want to comment on that or you don't want to comment on that?
No.
Same Marines. Go ahead, that's all right. That's your opinion.
It depends.
All right, say your opinion.
The younger ones haven't gotten it yet.
Well, that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, the younger ones haven't gotten it yet. They're the first ones to bitch about getting out and it sucks and all that shit, but...
And you know damn good well, as soon as they get out, they're at my shop, and what are they doing? They're, gee, I wish I could have stayed in and all that, so yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I know when I got drafted into the Army, the issue was about how do I feel about killing. I said, I don't know. I've never killed anybody, so how the hell would I know? But at 19, 18, I really didn't care. Wanted to do whatever I had to do to get back home. I believe that, like the first time I got into a fight and a guy punched me in the nose, I really didn't know how to fight, but I goddamn tried to punch him back in the nose. And I think that if I went to war and they shot at me, maybe I could probably shoot back. I mean, does that seem obvious to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Anyway, we're sorry about talking about war again, folks, but it seems to be on our minds so much because Philip and I are surrounded by these young Marines and Navy guys coming back from overseas, and they're shot. I want to talk about one guy. He was shot twice in the thigh, shot off a second-story building. He spent a year in rehab. He came in to say goodbye to me. They're letting him go. He doesn't want to go. This is a 6-year Marine. He wants to spend his life in the Marine Corps, and they're sending him home.
Yep.
We have that good friend of ours that was run over in Humvee.
Yep.
Completely, his whole right side, he's blind in one eye. So totally paralyzed. He's busting his butt to try to get back in shape so the Marine Corps can take advantage of him, and they're all they want to do is send him home. You know, you can't, a young man and young women, they got dreams, they got aspirations, and we say, they tell them, go home, we'll send you a check every month. That's like a slow death. There's got to be non-combat positions in the Marine Corps where these people can do stuff, but the Marine Corps says no. I don't.
Yeah, but the sad thing is, even, you know, military personnel that come back from overseas, you know, look at how they struggle. Nobody wants to deal with the fact when they're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, and ancient history ago, they didn't know what to do with the guys that came back that suffered from that. They had no clue.
And the guys and the gals that are coming back, there's no more, I mean, at least I know Army-wise, because my daughter's in the Army, there's no more student loan repayment, there's no more GI Bill, there's nothing to help you possibly get
accomplish something.
Yeah, there's like nothing. Unless you're working for them and it's, you know, dollar per hour, what are you getting? And, I mean, if you're reserve or guard, which is part-time, you don't even get medical benefits. But, you know, they need to, like, step up and take care of the vets. And, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And they should be the last people that they ever deprive or take money away from.
I agree. I think I spoke to you guys a while back, and I hope I'm not just repeating myself, but I want to say quickly, a psychiatrist friend of mine came in and gave me a book to read. It was about the comparison between the Greek poem, the Iliad, by Homer, and when they went over to Helena Troy, blah, 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 and the comparison to Vietnam. And I was mesmerized. They talk about these young Greeks coming over, fighting in a foreign land, and they said they experienced Lotus for the first time. Then they switch back to Vietnam, and they're talking about these young Americans coming over and experiencing drugs for the first time. Lotus, drug, same thing. They talked about these young Greeks coming over and experiencing drinking, abusing alcohol. They talk about the young kids coming over from Vietnam, where they were all drunk all the time. Then they went back into Greeks coming over, and they were sleeping with foreign women. They talked about the young guys going over to Vietnam, sleeping with foreign women, in many cases prostitutes. Well, they talked about when the Greek warriors came back, they didn't respect the women. They didn't respect that because they're used to being with prostitutes. They talked about the Vietnam vets coming home from Vietnam after spending time with whores, and they couldn't respect the women. Before they went overseas, they had sisters and mothers, and the comparison between the Greeks and the poem Iliad and then the Vietnam vets, it doesn't matter what war you're in. And, of course, they talked about post-traumatic stress from the Vietnam vets, and they talked about the Greek warriors just coming back days, shell-shocked. They didn't use the word shell-shocked, but something like that. Anyway, this book was so fascinating, and I couldn't put it down because every page, we're talking about thousands of years ago, soldiers with a shield and a spear, and now we got the Vietnam vet with the Kevlar and the machine gun. It's like taking one soldier out and putting him in another. We've had the same problems. Why do you think our government isn't prepared? From Vietnam, let's go from World War II to Korea. We weren't prepared when we were in Korea. Korea to Vietnam, once again, we weren't prepared. It's a documented proof that the early Vietnam era, many of the soldiers ordered hunting sniper rifles, and they sent them to Vietnam. The soldiers paid for them. We didn't have a sniper battalion in Vietnam. We had them in Korea, but we quit. The lessons we learned in World War II, we forgot in Korea. The lessons we learned in Korea, we forgot in Vietnam. And our young men and women are going over. Why isn't our government prepared? We've had so many wars. It's the same damn thing. Somebody explain that to me, please.
I wish I could explain that to you, because they should have something to come back to, some kind of programs. Ones that you don't have to wait forever in the day to get into, and so much paperwork that most of the guys and most of the gentlemen and women give up because they're tired of all this paperwork over and over and over. Or, you know, you have to prove this, you have to get this information, what happened to just, hey, you're a vet. I don't care what war you fought in. You're a vet. You need help. Here we are. What happened to that?
You know,
out the window.
I can only go back as far as the Vietnam era conflict, but I know my father was very proud of Korea. And let me explain this to everybody. My father did 3 tours in Vietnam. First tour, he came home. I'm going to exaggerate a bit. He walked down the street, and I swear to God, I thought I saw the American flag wrapped around his shoulders. He came walking down the street. He was as proud as he can be. The first tour of Vietnam. Second tour of Vietnam, he came home a little bit sarcastic. The third tour, my father came home from Vietnam. He had said, we have no chance to win. Our government will not give us the opportunity. Now, my father came home. I immediately was drafted. My father wanted to know, what am I going to do? I said, Dad, I got drafted. What the hell can I go? He says, I'm asking you, look at this war. Look what this war is all about. You decide all of your options. I had no idea who the hell this man was talking to me. The first tour of Vietnam, he came home with the red, white, and blue flag around his shoulders. The third tour, he was already beaten down, realizing we don't have a chance of winning. He asked me, what are my options? Have I looked? Well, I did get drafted, blah, 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 blah. But the point is, my father, from being there, was disillusioned. And many of the Vietnam vets that came home, they were disillusioned because they weren't given the opportunity to win.
Right.
We were there for fights. We couldn't win. Do you remember during the one, oh, my God, the big city by the Perfume River, the Viet Cong were all hiding out in the city, and we said, those are holy buildings. We can't. There was a section there. Anyway, our government did not want us to bomb the buildings, and the Viet Cong were in the building shooting at us.
Right.
How the hell can you win a war if you're telling me what I can and can't do? We were never meant to win that war.
No, but if you remember back then, Henry Kissinger was giving information that, you know, how they wanted to go into battle, and they didn't. That was the crazy part of it. We were brought into, or the people in your era, were brought into a war that shouldn't have been.
Fran, are you out there? Fran, I see you on the face thing out there. Are you out there, dear?
You talking to me?
I'm talking to you. You know I'm talking to you. Who you are, where you calling from, please?
Well, San Diego. I ride a little purple and white thing.
Is this a smut story?
Yeah.
This is funny, honey.
I was going to say, is this going to be a smut story?
I thought that was Tuesday night's thing.
I miss all that, don't I? Yeah, I miss all that.
Yes,
miss
you
what?
Did, because Eunice wanted to talk about sex Tuesday night, and what does she do? She comes right to me. Nora,
nope.
Have you found a guy yet? Nope. Really? She couldn't go to Stacy. She had to come to me.
No, wait. Now, everybody that knows me knows, man. Me, relationships, and that title, you know, taken, mine. I own. No, we don't get along. It's just, I'm me. Nobody, people know. Don't dump that relationship stuff on me.
I love Eunice to pieces. But we have to find other single people that call in for them to get picked out.
Everybody, I want to tell you absolutely, if you want to talk about sex, Philip's the one to do it.
Phil's a feisty little fucker when he gets going.
Oh, yeah.
On Tuesday nights.
Okay, how come...
He's got the butterfly wings going at about 100 miles per hour. He's socializing.
Oh, he's the man. He's the man.
He's the social butterfly.
Still out there? Did you go to Yuma, Arizona for the prison run?
Me? No.
I didn't know. It was a question. Yes, no. No, why not? No, why not?
Because that was also the same time that we had the motorcycle event here, which was motorcycle awareness, and then you also had the other motorcycle event that was going on the military that was here.
Okay.
So, no.
But Sandra, you're in California. We really overlap so much, we can't make all the events together.
Well, I'm going to backtrack a little.
Go ahead. Talking
about the hospital. Hospital is so hospitality that I had written a 35 handwritten page letter to the hospital.
Wow.
On the treatment of, or I should say, the stupidity of the staff that don't know their job. But on the other hand, they still haven't acknowledged the fact that they had ruined John's phone, his hearing aid, but the reason that they haven't really resolved any of that is because I'm so distraught. Now, I'm going to drop something else on you. When you had said that you had let the insurance know that don't pay X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Well, I had a chest x-ray that John and I couldn't remember having while I was in there in the emergency room. I called the insurance company and said, don't you dare pay for those x-rays because I didn't have one. I finally had the argument with the hospital, said, well, can we get x-rays from somewhere else? I said, we'll try the other hospital. Well, they didn't have that. What is really, really scary, 3 years later, I was at Sharp, and Sharp says, well, you know, while you're here for an MRI, do you think we could do a chest x-ray so we can actually pull those x-rays if they're not yours? For 3 years, mind you, 3 years, they had somebody else's lung in my medical folder.
Ugh.
See, they could not pull those x-rays until they had x-rays to replace them.
Great.
That's scary. Well, I mean, what if the guy had, or her, whoever it was, needed to have a lung cut out? Does that mean they would have cut my lung out?
Yeah, and then they wouldn't have found out until they get in there.
Yeah.
That would have been a little too late for me, I think. And no one would have been the wiser, other than the fact that I was a little ticked off, and, of course, John knew that any time I was ticked off, he didn't argue. So he didn't argue except for when I told him to argue with whoever I needed it argued with. But, yeah, that's your hospital mentality at this present time. I mean, they are beyond their, educational limits, mental limits. I don't know what you want to call it. But our education, because you were talking about education, maybe if we took away the computers for a bit and made them go back to pencil and paper and run around the track a couple times, they'd lose some of that overwhelmedness and learn how to write again so that companies don't have to send people to classes to learn how to write a business letter. Because the business letters now look like somebody is texting them. That's bad. I'm sorry.
No. You know, just recently my wife went in for minor surgery on a Friday. We checked in, yada, 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 yada. And before surgery, they said, we're going to have to postpone. The doctor had to leave the hospital. And they said, we'll rearrange it for Monday. So my wife's starting to get dressed. She's in the hospital gowns and all that. We're right at the last 11th hour. They said, what are you doing? She says, I'm going home. Oh, you're already here. Why don't you stay here for the weekend? We'll have the operation on Monday. Well, he says, well, what test are you going to do over the weekend? What are we going to do all weekend? And they said, nothing, but the insurance will pay for it all. Oh, I says, we're going home. They wanted my wife to stay for 3 days and charge everything up there so they could have the operation on Monday. And they acted like it's no big deal. It's got to be a big deal because you and I are paying the damn premiums here. When is this? This all comes back to us. When the hell are we going to stand up to this stuff here?
I don't know.
I'm not sure, but it's beyond my simple math. And my simple math says if I need to have this done, I will pay for this. So somebody's jamming us. Somebody's jamming. Is anyone else getting jammed?
No.
Oh, I'm getting jammed right and left. I was listening to you guys on the computer. The only problem is every 3 minutes I had to keep hitting the bar so that I could listen. It would actually stop. It would have 2 minutes, 3 minutes of broadcasting, and it would stop. That was pretty bad. As far as you were asking about the military, I'm also from the Vietnam era. There's very few Vietnam vets left because they're dying right and left. A little bit of Agent Orange, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Medical care. It depends on the individual.
Yeah.
And it depends on what doctor that the individual happened to luck out with. I mean, if the person looked out with a really, really good medical doctor, then you know what? They're in like Flynn. They get some whatever, and they put whatever on that form, you're not going to get treatment. And it's kind of like when you were saying about the IRS and getting flagged. Well, at the VA, certain individuals were flagged. And once you get flagged with the VA, you're not going to get treatment.
Wow. You know, I want to tell you something that I rate women as assets or liabilities. And I find women who are assets are the ones I'm most attracted to. And I definitely want to thank the women callers tonight, because each one of you are strong, independent women. I think you would come into a relationship as an equal. You would come in there with a lot to offer. I feel sorry for those men who have women who are just liabilities. You can't build a relationship with that. I respect the fact that a woman, as I have with you, for years, the day we met, you walked up, this is who I am. No apologies, no nothing. I've always appreciated intelligent women, women who want to stand their own ground. Again, I feel sorry for those men who don't have strong women.
You have to understand, John and I got married when I was 33 years old.
Uh-huh.
And when he was the only man that did not have a problem with me making more money than he did. He did not have a problem that I repaired the roof and he cooked. It was one of the best things ever, but you know something, you're right. It's very difficult because you try and date a man when you don't put up with any crap and you can take care of your own stuff and you can do your own engine work. That kind of puts a guy on the plus side. I mean, it's not easy. I've always been real lucky with a lot. And friendships like you and Phil, I mean, that's also hard to come by. Not too many, let's say men, or even women. Even women can't quite understand that kind of power from another woman. But I do appreciate your friendship because you have always treated me as an equal.
That's because he didn't want you to beat the shit out of us.
You wouldn't do that out of friends, honey. Put up.
Many people I've been blessed to find people that not only are they're my friends. After I decide they're my friends, then they can be women if they want. They can be black, white, Chinese, red. It doesn't really matter. The point of the matter is that, first of all, I have to find out whether or not I respect you as a person. If I respect you as a person, you and I are friends. We're on a roll. It's not going to change forever. 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. I'm very picky. I have people, as Philip, you know this, I have people everywhere, acquaintances. But I don't have a lot of what I call friends. And I tell everybody, today in my life, I have more friends in the cemetery, more brothers and sisters in the cemetery than I have walking on the streets. I really enjoy having an equal as a friend. I just don't think you need to raise your voice. I don't think you need to raise your hand at somebody. I think that that friendship is deteriorating. You get to that point in there. However, to have somebody to have debates with and discussions with, that's fantastic.
Well, for me, whenever we have ridden, we have always ridden as equals, side by side.
Right.
And even in that task in itself, oftentimes is difficult because, once again, a number of men or women just don't understand that or respect it.
Well, I've always saw you as, you know, you know what? I've enjoyed your friendship, but I got to tell you, I never realized how much I needed your husband until we lost your husband. He just was the best researcher, the best everything, a good personality. I don't want to say we all took him for granted, but I kind of think we did, and perhaps maybe you did a little bit too. He was a fantastic man that had so much to give and share. He allowed you and I to spend as much time as we wanted together. He never cared, just fine, blah, 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 blah. It wasn't, Philip, I think you agree with this too. We lost John. We started realizing that this is a special person.
Yeah.
You're very lucky to have spent the time you did with John, friend.
It's a good thing I saved all the stuff he saved me.
Yeah.
He sent me.
Do you hear what I said, friend? I think you're very lucky for the time you have with John.
Lucky? Way too short. I still don't see watch out for bikes yet on the signs.
Yeah.
Watch out for motorcycles. I don't see that up there yet.
It's supposed to go on Monday.
Monday? Okay. Luckily.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. But when none of the people really do not understand John and I.
Right.
John and I had a very special, unique relationship. And more than a relationship, John and I were a team. And it's kind of difficult losing half of you. And that's what I did. Is I lost half of myself because John is no longer here. But More importantly, when you say education, anybody out there, or anybody, I don't care who you are out there, I don't have an education. And you just complimented John by saying he was the best researcher. He wrote all those articles. John only had a GED.
I didn't know that. He carried himself way beyond that.
He is the only person in New York that taught at a university that had a GED when you were supposed to have a master's degree in order to teach.
Hmm.
Yes.
Fran, hold that on for a second. We got a caller, 760-445, trying to jump in here. Caller, you're live. Tell us who you are. Where are you calling from, please?
Hey, Bill, it's Ivan. How you doing?
We're doing fine tonight, brother. What do you want? This is a roving reporter in the motorcycle world. Tell us what's going on in the world, brother.
Okay, well, first off, it's beautiful weather out here in sunny Southern California. So if you're not riding, then I don't know what the hell your problem is. You can't ask for better weather than we've had this last week or so. I do have some runs.
The problem with that is people out there, they can't understand when we tell them about that. They can't handle the truth.
Well, the truth will set you free.
Exactly.
That's all I got to say. All right, I do have some runs here. That one's pretty far out. I'll save that one for last. We've got the Sober Riders MC San Diego chapter here in San Diego County, California. The first annual Pig Pen Memorial Poker Run. That's Sunday, June 9th. Registration is at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. at El Cajon Harley-Davidson. The address is 621 El Cajon Boulevard, El Cajon, California, 92020. The suggested donation is $10 per rider or $15 per couple. The next one that I have coming up here is the Warfighters MC. I know quite a few of those guys are really good people. They have chapters back east also. It's the first annual Bikini Bike Wash. That's Saturday, May 25th at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It says, come out and see the beautiful girls in bikinis. Get all that grime off your bike and enjoy some good times with fellow motorcycle enthusiasts. Proceeds will benefit the Wounded Warrior Project to help veterans get a new start, which is always an outstanding cause.
Yep.
It's at the Hard Hat Sports Bar and Grill, 27713 Jefferson Avenue, Temecula, 92590. The point of contact is Wrench at Wrench. Wrench at warfightersmc.com. Like I said, a bunch of those guys they're outstanding individuals. The next one is a Clean and Sober Club. It's the Dessinger's MC. It's the Support McAllister Institute Walk for Sobriety. It's on Saturday, June 22nd at 2013 at 10 a.m. It starts at San Diego Harley-Davidson and ends at NTC Liberty Station. The address there is 2455 Cushing Road, San Diego, 92106. There is no required ride fee, but clubs or independents donate $35 registration fees for newcomers to walk. The McAllister Institute opened its doors 35 years ago to provide substance abuse treatment, education, and a path to recovery for us. Whether you're in recovery or know someone affected by addiction, help us raise awareness about all things worth celebrating in sobriety. Let's support McAllister's Walk for Sobriety by riding out to NTC Park, making the sound of thunder so the community knows the strength of recovery. If you have any questions, you can contact Mark Stevenson at MessengersMC at 619-992-9814 or Charlie Aperol. Messengers MC at 619-920-7970. And I also have one up here in North County, San Diego, Filthy Bastards MC. Join us May 18th at Danny P's Cork and Tap from 11 to 4. That's at 560 Greenbrier Drive, Suites 105 and 106 Oceanside, California. They're going to have raffle prizes, and they'll be giving away. This is a lot of cool shit. There is a $10 donation requested, and let me see, that's pretty much it. As far as, actually, you can get additional details at www.filthybastards.com, or filthybastardsmc.com, excuse me. And last but not least, actually, there's two others. There's the Purple Heart Run from the Mission Chapter Rough Riders. All proceeds generated by this event go directly to the Veterans Village of San Diego and other veterans organizations in San Diego County. So that money does stay local to San Diego. It's not a national thing. It's on June 22nd, 2013, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's $15 per person or $20 per couple, which includes lunch and a poker hand. It'll be a poker walk, not a poker run or ride. Everything happens right there at the Oaks Restaurant in Rainbow, California. The high and low hand will be $100 and $50 respectively. There will be a raffles and an auction. 50-50, they will have vendors, music, and there will be bar service. For more information, call Staples at 760-445-5816. And one more veterans run is the Veterans of Foreign Wars, California VFW District 23, Riverside County. This is a little north and outside of San Diego County, but that's all good. It's the 9/11 Memorial Poker Run, Sunday, September 14th, 2013. Registration goes from 0300 to 0900 at Rainbow Oaks Restaurant, 4815 5th Street, Rainbow, California, 92028. You see live music. They'll have raffles, prizes, high and low hand. There'll be bike parking, food and drinks. There's a $20 for single rider, $30 with passenger, $10 walk-in, the end party at the VFW Post 2266, and the address there is 1891 South Santa Fe Avenue, San Jacinto, California, and the record is presented by the VFW MC Inland Empire Chapter. So that's pretty much all I have as far as runs. I'm sure there's probably others out there that I haven't mentioned. If I apologize if I don't have all of them. This is Southern California, and the ride season is heating up. Oh, actually, I do have one more. That's on June 29th. I'm sorry. It's the second annual Sound of Freedom, sponsored by the Fallbrook VFW Post 1924. High hand pays $300. Registration from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the Fallbrook VFW. Registration includes your poker hand, lunch, raffles, entertainment, and more. All proceeds to benefit the VFW Veterans Relief Fund, aiding veterans and their families in need. And that's June 29th. VFW Post, Fallbrook, California, 1175 Old Stage Road, Fallbrook, California, 760-728-8784. And like I said, with the run season heating up here in SoCal, there's going to be something going on every Saturday and Sunday from now until probably October. And then we get into the seasonal Christmas runs, like the Tijuana Toy Runs and the Marine Corps Toys for Tots Runs, and just, you know, it goes on from there. And I will update as I get information.
I appreciate it. Do you have any information on the Nuggets Run on this Saturday up in Riverside?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's going on this Saturday. It's an overnighter, and I don't have any information. I was hoping to pass that on. I should have took a flyer on that one. But I always want to give a lot of respect to Nuggets. They're all old friends of mine. They have a nice camp out and all that. By the way, sir, I certainly want to thank you for bringing your wife down to visit me at the motorcycle shop.
Oh, no problem. She loves hanging out with you, Bill. You know that.
And I want you to understand that her and I appreciate the quality time we have, even though it's so limited because you're always in the way and you're always sticking your nose in our conversation. But any chance your wife and I get together, say hello, even for a second, just a moment glance, that's all we ask out of life.
Not a problem.
People out there listening have no idea how big this man is, and you have no idea I'm fucking with him. Luckily, he knows it, and his wife and I are friends. He has friends, too, but sometimes I'm afraid I might push him over the edge a bit too much. I hope not. My friend, again, thank you very much for your outstanding report. It's interesting because I want people to understand a bit of what's going on in a local area, because there are people calling in from different parts of different parts of America, Europe, et cetera, et cetera. So I want them to get a little taste, a little flavor. Ivan is a member of a motorcycle club. He chooses to be an independent when he makes his reports and all that, so this man knows exactly what he's talking about. And me, amigo, I want to thank you very much again for your report tonight, sir. Listen, thank you, my friend. 858-617, would you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please?
Hey, Bill and Phil, it's Jerry Burgos.
Hey, amigo, ¿cómo está?
I'm calling from work, so... So I'm still working, but, you know, I was finally able to log in and wanted to say hello and hear the doctor of schmoozology in action.
Jerry, you're being too kind. Jerry and I got a chance to ride back from Arizona together. We rode over separate, but we rode back together. We spent the weekend partying in Arizona. For you single ladies out there, Jerry's available. Jerry's got a beautiful bagger, Road King. Jerry's great, and he's quite an interesting fellow. He works full time, and all his free time, he donates helping all these charity and these sports programs, soccer, cricket, what the hell. He does it all, ladies and gentlemen out there. So if anybody wants to get information on you, how can they find information about you, buddy?
About me?
Yeah.
Shoot. I figured they'd just call you because I'm usually at the shop.
Well, there's any way they can reach you, send messages or anything?
Sure. I wouldn't want to give my number out publicly, but...
Girls are asking for naked pictures. You got naked pictures?
Oh, my God. Well, you better just calm down, damn it. Jeez.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
you know,
I actually...
We know how to shut him up.
Yep.
I was just going to say that. You notice, like, when Bill puts him on the spot, he gets real quiet.
He
was with
me
all weekend in Arizona,
lot.
And I put him on the spot a couple times with quite a few ladies. I'm an instigator. I'm a troublemaker. Jerry understands that. I don't do anything to ever embarrass you, or I would never do anything to make people laugh at you. I want people to laugh with you. But
oh,
poor
absolutely.
Jerry, he was hang with me.
Handle the truth.
Hang with me all weekend's a bit heavy, right, Jerry?
Oh yeah, but I love it. It's awesome. But yeah, I was definitely put on the spot. I'm just I'm just a shy guy. That's all.
Bye, guy.
You just have to make an email.
Marion just said he's easily flustered, so I'm guessing he's a puppy.
Well, a nice guy. And like I said, he hanging out with us all weekend, and
she says,
I'm an instigator.
She says, oh, sure, convince me.
Oh, I'm an instigator. Terry's a nice guy, and I'm hoping he'll get involved this more often. I think you're going to try to do...
She also said, I've never yelled at Bill. I only kicked him in the shins once.
She's been my friend for a long time, and I got to tell you something like that. Yeah, this is another lady I respect because she says what's on her mind. Get back to Jerry. Jerry, I spoke to the guys of the Iron Crossman, and they told me last week in Las Vegas that Big Ed came out of his coma, and Big Ed was talking to everybody. And they're extending a special invitation for us California people to go back out to Las Vegas for the Bike Fest, and please come down their clubhouse Saturday night. So
during Bike Week?
Up with me.
During Bike Week in October 3rd? That
right.
week?
I don't have my dates, but it's too far away for me, but yeah.
She also said, yeah, that's sure. He was in response to him saying he's a shy guy.
You know that guy, Stingray, that we talked to in Arizona?
Yeah.
He told me he's going to get on the phone tonight, start looking at a bunch of hotels and all that. What I'd like to do is, like what we did in Arizona, let's get about 6, 8, 10 clubs together. Let's take over the whole hotel. That way we don't have to worry about any citizens being shocked or, oh my God, they're really doing that. So
right.
We're trying to find some place we can all get together and make some noise and not get thrown in jail.
In Vegas?
Yes, sir.
You mean for Bike Week or for that special date?
No, Bike Week will just be Saturday night. We'll be down in Las Vegas for the clubhouse. But Bike Week, I don't know the date on that yet. We'll hook up on that. I don't book my life that far apart. You know that.
Yeah.
I don't have computers. I don't have phones. I don't have nothing. You know how I am. I'm lucky I can get anywhere I am.
Yeah, I know. It's near impossible getting a hold of you unless you go to the shop or call Phil.
A rough call. That's why you guys should never let me lead the pack. Remember, I just get lost. I don't stop, so you got to keep an eye on me.
Hey, I wanted to get your guys' opinion about something I saw on the newswire earlier. Have you guys talked about that incident with the American Legion from Norco coming down to Oceanside?
Yes. What's your opinion on that? Tell us what happened, please, and get your opinion.
Okay, I guess what had happened is a group from American Legion's Norco came down there on a ride. They passed through Oceanside and they stopped at an establishment. And the establishment told them that, you know, you can't, you know, no colors are allowed. You have to take off your colors. Well, they took exception to that and decided to just go ahead and leave. And then I guess the subsequent story is that the president of that chapter had was on record, recorded, and I guess it went to Channel 7 News or something that that they should get an apology, and it was a misunderstanding, and basically they were not pleased that they were denied service. And
one thing I would say, Jerry, this was not a bar they were going to. This was
a restaurant. Right, right.
Restaurant. They were barred from a restaurant. Oh,
yes. Yeah.
Well, they weren't
exactly barred, but they were given the option to remove their cuts, and they decided not to, and then they went somewhere else.
Any organization that wears colors or a vest or a cut or a baseball cap that goes with that cut are taught not to take it off for anybody.
That's right.
Right.
And these are all American veterans. These are guys who, when our troops come back from overseas, they arrive at March Air Force Base. These American Legion riders, all the Harley-Davidson motorcycles, they give escort to the Marines and Navy guys coming back.
The reason them guys were here from Norco is because they stopped in Oceanside after their coastal ride because they were doing a send-off for one of their members who's being deployed
to
Afghanistan Monday for his third tour of duty.
That's right.
Right.
Within the American Legion Reds, we also have a subgroup called the Patriot Guard. And I'm remiss if I don't mention that because our good friend Bob Murray's in the Patriot Guard, another riding partner of ours. These are people who go to the cemeteries when we're bringing our dead sons and daughters home and we're burying them. And across the cemetery, the Baptist ministers from the Midwest are protesting the war. Now, here we have the tricky part. They are Americans, these Baptist ministers. They have the right to protest. I would never deny them the right to protest. However, the Patriot Guard are lined up across the cemetery, and they're saying, you will not step foot inside this cemetery until the family buries their dead. Then you can have your protests. So the American Legion Riders are great people, and the subgroup, the Patriot Guard, these are fantastic people because Bob Murray and our friends, they stand in front of the cemetery, and I'm telling you, nobody is going to disturb that funeral. That's a lot of class act. We both owe them an awful lot, you know. Jerry,
yeah,
you remember Bob? Bob rode back with us from Arizona.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, sure do. Of course I do. Yep. Yeah, that was a good time.
I remember a lot about Arizona. You remember, Jerry?
Yeah.
Remember me talking to this girl and you stared at her belly button for about an hour or two? Oh, Jerry, did I say something wrong? Jerry, did I say something wrong?
No, you hardly say anything wrong, Bill.
She was quite a beautiful girl, and Jerry was fixated with her diamond little jewelry in her belly button there, I think.
It was really nice, that's for sure.
I told you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do not go out with me. I will cause trouble. You'll never get bored hanging with us.
No, absolutely not. And you always seem to find me in different places that we never go to together, but you find me. So that's like a blessing, I would say.
Again, we have a lot of my friends on the air right now, a lot of new people, but I would like to ask you, and don't be shy right now, because I'm being serious, which I don't get often seriously. You belong to an organization, and would you tell us the name of the organization and what their purpose is, please?
Oh, okay. I'm part of the Sacred Bone Society, and the founder is an Army vet back in World War II who worked with the Department of Defense, and whose primary job was to find the war dead and their remains and gather them up and ship them home for proper burial. Hence, the name Sacred Bones. So this was a club that he founded back in 47, and his grandson is our current president. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what it is.
Okay, so we started out World War II bringing the remains home. What type of work are you guys doing today?
The type of work we do today? Well,
yes, sir.
Really, it's just a bunch of mostly military veterans, and we just get together and ride. We don't have any stake with Department of Defense or, you know, doing anything, you know, particularly military, although we do support anything military, you know, due to our origin. So, you know, we're a neutral club, a one-patch non-traditional club, and we never claim or try to be traditional, but, you know, basically we just carry on the name and the respect that we have for military.
Well, you seem comfortable with the clubs because you and I were in Arizona. You must have spoke to about 20 different clubs, and they all accepted you and gave you respect, and I know she gave the clubs respect. So a lot of clubs, which are not outlaw clubs, are uncomfortable hanging around, but you certainly were okay for the weekend and all that, Jerry.
Well, I mean, it's like you and other people have said, it's how you carry yourself, and, you know, I'm the last person to be a boisterous type of guy, and, you know, you give respect, and, you know, we know that we are to give respect to three-patch clubs and two-patch clubs and to clubs in general, and, you know, especially since we're neutral, you know, we have no room to make demands or, you know, puff our chest out for anything. You know, we just show respect and you know, coexist. So, you know, that's you know, props to all the patch holders that, you know, that are the traditional two and three patch clubs.
Pretty class. You know, Jerry's a pretty nice guy. Maybe we could have a bidding war. We could sell him or something. What do you think?
I want to jump in for a minute.
Go ahead.
What would really be nice would be to see a number of patch holders, you know, clubs and so forth, start bringing back some of the old tradition of bike riding. And that curtails that if, let's say, a president is talking to another president, you give them respect, you give them space. You know, you don't automatically jump in and ride with the group. You ride behind them if you're not part of that group, unless you're invited. I mean, simple courtesies that people just don't know are there anymore. And I think we need to somehow go back to the education line and say, hey, I'm glad you're a new club, but let's also respect the old rules of clubs. And I see that just withering away, and I think that bothers me.
Well, I'm going to jump on this here because it's kind of important. I don't normally discuss club business, but I'm going to say right now, too many clubs out there are not schooling their young prospects the way to behave, how to act. I find too many young guys trying to act too tough. Be tough. Be a man. Stand your ground, but you don't have to be offensive. And, again, I'm going to blame this, and I'm sure I'll hear this the next time I'm out town. The clubs today need to spend more time schooling their members on protocol.
Exactly. It's like motorcycle 101, 102, 3, 4, and 5.
So then you don't think that...
That was not from me. That was Jerry said all about the clubs, because I would have never said anything about the clubs, but Jerry said all the information about school and the clubs. So anybody got a bone to pick, go find Jerry, okay?
Hey, I'll tell you what. You know what? If somebody out there has a problem with that shit, tell them... Come see me. I'll bust his fucking knee, and then he can crawl and tell me what I've done wrong.
No.
Because
I am
you
know,
not. Yes, sir. We want to go back to grassroots. I'm sorry.
I would have loved to go back to grassroots. I say to everybody, listen to me today. I wish I'd known all of you 30 years ago. You would have loved me a lot more. That was a special.
A lot more.
My life is being shut down. Computers are controlling everything I do. Philip and I do not have the flexibility to do in America, and we have to roll down into Mexico to break it back, but we cannot go back 20, 30 years ago, and I don't want to go back. Jerry is a good example of a old soul in a young man's body. He should have been about years ago when we were out there heavy. We're still doing the best we can, but boys and girls, it's changing all around us. Big brothers everywhere, cameras with the red lights. Everybody's there talking, let's put chips in our children, chips in the dogs, chips in everything. We can't go back in time, but I wish for one weekend you all could go back in time with me and spend one weekend in Mexico with me.
I'm going to take you back to 1984. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Everybody check this out. It's by Kid Rock.
I like this song a lot. I know Marion's out there. Maid Marion's listening to us. Marion, why don't you jump in for a second, because you went to Mexico with me 10 years ago or something, didn't you? Marion, you out there? Jump on the phone for a second. I know you're typing that disco duck thing I can't stand. Jump on the phone for a second. I'd like you to share your experience of going to Mexico with us. Maybe, Marion? While we're doing that, we've got a message over here. And
Can you pass a group?
Okay, would you ask the question? We had a text message for somebody. It's a kind of important question. We'll be glad to answer it. Go ahead, please.
Hey, is it okay to pass a group writing?
Okay, the question was, is it okay to pass a group writing? Is it a breach of protocol?
If it's a club, they'll wave you on.
If it's a club, proceed with caution. If it's a group of people, no, they're just independents like you are. If it's a club and they're in the fast lane, be careful what you're doing.
Yep.
If it's a club and they're in the slow lane, then the fast lane is wide open. Do what you want to do. I blow by anybody. But I want to say protocol dictates that if a club is blasting down in the fast lane,
get
out of the way. Just let them go on through and all that. If it's a bunch of independents and or a hog chapter or something like that, and I don't mean derogatory, that's not an issue whatsoever. You can pass them inside, outside, anything at all.
Marion says, say what? I don't think you want to hear that.
Marion, I'd like you to tell the people a little bit about the last time down at Rocky Point, Puerto Penasco, 500 miles in one day. And what happened, you know, well, no, not the what happened part. I mean, the ride and the experience. Come on, Marion, jump on the dumb thing. Get off that stupid machine thing. Marion, you out there yet? Stop typing those stupid things. I don't want to hear that stuff. I'd like somebody else to talk about our Mexican trips a little bit. Is she coming in or not? She's texting more dumb messages to me. Okay, well, that one text we got regarding the passing the club,
sure.
That's common sense. Okay, 760-277, would you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please?
Hello, Bill. It's Marion.
We're talking about trips down to Mexico and all that, and you, how long ago was it that you and I went down to Rocky Point?
Four,
okay. Now, for a lot of people that back east, the Midwest, that don't have a clue, we went about 500 miles in one day, and would you tell us what the people we got down there, what was the party atmosphere like? We stayed right there in the ocean. Give us a little bit of your PG-rated story.
You don't want my story, Bill. Don't you recall I didn't have such a good time?
Oh, I forgot that part. But
I did ride the 500 and some odd miles back, every inch of it.
That's right. Well, you know, tell us a little bit about, let everybody know about, we had the ocean, we had the parties going all night long. I mean, truly from Friday to Sunday, it never stopped at all. Tell us about that a little bit.
No, it never stopped, and the drama never stopped. And I haven't gone since, have I, Bill?
You haven't, dear.
Gee, I wonder why.
People out there, there's a lady who just rode 500 miles with me through the deserts, through the mountains, not complaining, and many of the hardcore club people were afraid to go with me. Then they said it was too far to go. Everybody came with a story, but a lot of my friends got together, and we rolled. And it was a long road. But we had bands playing, parties going on. Did we stay at a hotel or did we stay at a timeshare? I don't remember that time.
I stayed at a hotel. It was right across from the timeshares.
Okay. Well, tell the people that want to hear a little bit.
The beach from there.
What was the parties like? What was the town like? Tell us anything about the city, if you would.
If there hadn't been drama, it would have been wonderful. There was lots of parties, everybody getting together, lots of bands, lots of whatever. Anything you wanted, you had. But like I said, had it not been for the drama, it would have been great.
All right, blow the drama off. I got to tell you, boys and girls, I woke up in the morning, I went to a restaurant, and they had a little tray in front of me at the restaurant. Inside that little tray was aspirin, Tylenol, Viagra, condoms, and I'm thinking, I like this attitude. These people are here to make sure I have a good
restaurant.
Week.
I didn't go there.
Across the street from us, they had everything there for wake up in the morning. Here's coffee. Here's some drugs. Here's a condom. What did you need? I'm going, well, nice people and all that. How about the weather, the beach? Come on, share some story, Mary.
Like I said, it was absolutely wonderful other than the drama, you know.
Oh, drama's drama. We deal with drama. We all came back alive, didn't we?
That we did. Other than that pothole that I hit and almost threw myself, it was all right.
I do remember that one time we were going around a bend in the middle of the Mexican desert, and the wind hit you so hard you drifted right into oncoming traffic. Do you remember that
one?
No.
That's when we were going around that gravel truck, and I couldn't get my bike back over into the right lane.
That's right. Yeah, I thought that was it. I thought I was going to kiss you goodbye. I figured she's going to be gone, but somehow...
Hey, it was a good thing that the first vehicle was another motorcycle.
In there. Two-lane road, and she's on the wrong side of the road. Thank God the oncoming traffic was a motorcycle. But in Mexico, we do have a problem with bad roads and winds, and what do we care? It's the journey, boys and girls. But here's a lady who wanted to go, had little motorcycle experience. Excuse me, I don't mean to belittle you. Little motorcycle experience, head and long ride, and yet you packed your bike up.
Oh, yeah, I'm a glutton for punishment. Okay, who's blocking us?
970-978. They really want you to jump in and say something.
It's Ryan with Canada Productions out of Colorado, calling from a bike night out here in Greeley.
Hey, buddy, how we doing?
I'm good. So, yeah, I just wanted to call in real quick. I was going to try to get in earlier, but we've been busy out here trying to promote our poker run coming up, so figured I'd give a shout. And then I've got one of the first models you guys had helped me get started back about a year and a half ago. Michelle's out here with me, so she wanted to stop in and say hello, too.
Oh, hello, hello.
So I'm going to just hand the phone over to her, and she can yak at you for a minute.
Is that you out there?
Hey,
buddy, I haven't heard from you in a while. Everything's okay?
Oh, yeah, everything's going great. I had a baby. I was out of commission for a little bit, but hey, Ryan's got me back in the game.
Standing. May I ask you, without being troublesome, you know I always ask bad questions, how much weight did you have to lose after the baby? Was it tough to lose and get back in a fighting shape?
No, actually not at all. I was back to my normal weight about 3 weeks after I had my baby, so... Now it's just turning, getting in shape, and I feel like I look better than I did even before I had my kid.
That's outstanding. And your type of a job you're doing, it certainly is a blessing that you can start getting yourself back in shape and all that. May I ask you, little boy, little girl, what is it?
He's a little boy. His name's Braden Wyatt. He'll be 8 months on the 18th.
Wait a minute now. I thought you and I talked that we were going to name the boy Bill. What happened here? What happened here?
I just don't even know. Life just happened.
Did you get a chance to send the picture of the baby over here so I can see it in the program?
I don't know if I sent any. I'll make sure that me and Ryan send some pictures over to you guys.
Perfect with that. You know, Ryan, we were talking, and Michelle, too, about one of my last adventures down into mainland Mexico, and I'd love for you guys to punch up on your computer, English, Rocky, in Espanol, Puerto Penasco. I probably can't say it correctly, and I can't spell it. But if you get a chance, punch Rocky Point and take a look at one of our great adventures down into Mexico. It is beautiful down there. Have you been to Rocky Point before?
I've seen pictures. I haven't
ever
been there personally.
Bathtub, warm water. We never get out of the ocean. Everything goes wide open down there.
Sounds amazing.
Well, it might be too much for you being such a shy girl and all that, but, you know.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you guys get back with Ryan. I'm going to go hand out the rest of my flyers for the biker run, all right?
Okay, everybody. Bye-bye now. Take care, kiddo.
All right. Yeah, here
he
is.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. And if you ever get a chance to punch up Rocky Point, or you ever get down to Rocky, Puerto Penasco, mainland Mexico?
You know what? I'd love to get down there. If we could figure out how to get me there, I'd be all over it.
Punch that up in your computer when you get home. Take a peek. You'll just find it's beautiful down there. July. Into a Baja. There's a big party going on down there, but The one in Rocky Point sometimes pulls 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 bikers across for a 3-day weekend. It's pretty wild.
Oh, that sounds
like
that.
The weather is gorgeous.
Yeah, sounds like a good time for sure.
Yeah, so what's new, buddy? What's new?
Well, I'm promoting the heck out of this poker run I have going on.
Tell us about it.
I was able to release some more information, so I'll let some of that loose for you. Kind of a long story, but last year I was contacted by Playboy Enterprises International, and they wanted to do a little article about the American Biker and what they do for charity organizations. So they got with me, and I put together a real quick poker run just to get some photos for them. And they put together an article that gave all the positive attributes that bikers across the globe do for charity events. So it was such a big hit that they asked me if I'd be willing to step up and do another poker run and see about having them come out and film it. So I'm talking to the right people to make sure everything is copacetic and above the table. And we're going to see if we can't put together this next biker run. And they'd like to turn it into some sort of a documentary.
Wow.
And so all of the great things that the bikers do that a lot of times go unnoticed.
Right.
So it's
one thing I want to say to you, and Philip and I are very keen on this, make sure that any organization you try to support, endorse, or put your name on it, please do the homework and find out to make sure that major percentage of the money being collected organization.
Absolutely, and that's something with the International Mosaic Down Syndrome Association. That's who we're doing our poker run for next.
Okay.
The way I have everything set up is you can contact them through me, but all of the money that I am able to even funnel goes directly to their website. I don't ever touch a penny.
Right.
And the company that actually runs it, it's based off of 7 different families across the nation. The headquarters was in Texas, and the president's in Ohio. She's actually going to fly out for our event, and she's going to handle all of the cash. Thank you for coming out. So nobody that's involved with me whatsoever has to even touch a penny that's coming across the table.
That's
so
what keeps your reputation safe. Every time Philip and I do an event at my bike shop, I represent the organization. They collect all the money. There is never any improprieties. There's never a nickel being questioned. Everything goes to the organization. So I like the way you're handling that.
So, yeah, it's the safest way of doing it. It's the best way to make sure that not only do you have, like they say, good contracts keep good friends. So
that
way they know they're getting 100% of it. And I don't have to worry about anybody that I might be associated with that might have sticky fingers getting in the way of what my business is.
Perfect.
So we're... that'll all be, the day of the event, of course, we'll be taking cash for anybody that signs up for the poker run. But up until then, everything goes through PayPal, and it's a direct link straight to their organization. So I'm really happy we were able to get that part of it set up.
You know, I want to say something here quickly. You're asking for donations now, right? You're not asking for money to go on the poker run. The semantic is donations. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct. Everything is based off of a donation. And then we're also asking for sponsors. Anybody that isn't in the direct city that is willing to help out this organization, is that they contact another company that we're affiliated with for this event, and they're able to rent in their company's name a bouncy house for kids. And then that bouncy house will be delivered on site. It'll have their company information on it. And they know that their money's going directly to the organization. And they're able to support the kids that are coming out with their families for this International Mosaic Down Syndrome Fund.
Well, just to get back to the poker run, you got to make sure you say donations, not $10 for a card or whatever. Because if you don't say donations... and somebody gets pissed off or they're making too much noise and they call the cops, they'll come and they can confiscate the money and you're out.
If not, you're running a gambling program. That's what it is.
Correct.
You
got
to make sure over and over and over. And I don't want to be paranoid. It's donations for the event. If you don't use that semantics, you're opening yourself up to a whole kettle of fish.
Absolutely. And that's, something that Phil's told me numerous times, and I'm happy every time I'm told, because it's so easy to forget that everybody out there is too happy, and everybody out there wants a piece of a pie that somebody else has worked for. So, it doesn't bother me at all to be reminded about that.
Yeah. Or you can call it an opportunity. Or as Mary or Fran says, you can call it an opportunity drawing.
Exactly. Well, you know, we've got a 50-50 raffle going, and I'm trying to make sure that that's going to, you know, pass okay without somebody getting all upset over it.
Well, that's an opportunity drive.
Okay.
Got to use those words.
Got to use those words. Donations and opportunity. Because 9 times out of 10, whoever wins the 50-50, most of the time they kick it back to the charity anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. But we're trying to tie this in since, you know, Mosaic Down Syndrome affects everybody, not just a certain demographic. We're trying to set it up where everybody can be involved. We've got a bike show, a car show. I've got some entertainers coming out to do different types of dancing, things like that, so that the whole family can show up and for next to nothing help support an organization that's trying to raise awareness for this Mosaic Down Syndrome. So...
anything we can do to help the children, in this case, of course, it's young adults and adults. It's the children that always tears my heart. Hello?
Yep.
What's this?
Okay. Yep, exactly.
Starting with the children, but Down's syndrome affects all ages. Is that correct, sir?
It does. And, you know, specifically Mosaic Down is something that a lot of people don't even know exists. And a lot of the newer doctors are finding out about it after they have diagnosed people with leukemia, because in Mosaic Down syndrome, you don't have all of the attributes that most people, you know, correlate with Down syndrome. You know, a lot of times you have almond-shaped eyes, a wider nose, different things that you look at somebody and you pretty much instantly know that they could be affected with Down syndrome. With Mosaic, there are no telltale signs. So you could be 40, 50 years old, have a family, whereas that's not a possibility with regular Down syndrome. So there's so much to learn about it, and so many people are misdiagnosed and treated for leukemia, of all things, when, in fact, they actually have Mosaic Down. So hopefully by making people more aware of it, letting people be educated about it, that'll help to, you know, get a lot of people on their feet and moving forward with normal lives.
One day.
I'm sorry, Phil was showing me something. We got lost for a second. Why are you having a party tonight? It's middle of the week, Thursday. Why not? Aren't you doing it on a Saturday? What made you pick today? I'm kind of curious.
Well, tonight is actually the overall event's not going to happen until June 23rd.
Okay, sorry.
But that's fine. Tonight we're actually at the location that stepped up to the plate. They've got it's the Roadkill Sports Bar, a sports bar in Greeley. And they stepped up and offered their facility for our first and last stop, as well as they're willing to house our whole event for the entire day. They do all sorts of barbecue, brisket, chicken, pork, normally between $9 and $12 a plate. For the day of the event, they're dropping their prices to like $5 a plate, and then everybody that's on the ride eats for free. They've got a liquor license that covers their entire parking lot so people can be outside if we have a large amount of people without worrying about open containers. So they've got the facilities to house everything, and tonight happens to be their bike night. So we came out tonight, myself and one of the models that I've been working with, and she helped pass out flyers. I met with a couple different clubs to make sure that everything we're doing is on the up and up and they know what's going on. Just to make sure that everybody's informed, knows what we're doing, and we can make it a successful event when June 23rd rolls around.
My next-door neighbor has Down syndrome, and he's probably 35 years old. I've been living in the same house for over 20 years, so I feel like I kind of grew up with him. The guy's name is Dave. I'm going to tell you, every day of my life I go outside, Dave's happy to see me. Dave's got a small job working somewhere so he can take a city bus to and from. But I watched this man go from a teenager to a young man to what he is today. At first, I used to think that, God, I felt so uncomfortable. I'll be very honest about this here. But as I got to know him, man, I couldn't ask for a better neighbor or a better friend. Dave's really one of those people out there. And in Down syndrome, there's some wonderful people out there, guys.
Absolutely. And a lot of people say that, you know, they've got Down syndrome or, you know, any number of things where they put the illness first. And, you know, after hanging out with a lot of the people that are affected with Down syndrome and seeing a lot of these kids that you don't even notice a difference.
Right.
You know, they seem to have such a better temperament about them. It's almost, you know, they've got such great characteristics, and they're just happy about everything and great individuals. So a very huge misrepresentation that a lot of people portray to Down syndrome. Once you get to know them, they're great people. So.
Right. I've never had a day when I went out when my friend Dave, my next-door neighbor, my friend, hello, Bill. I'm taking the trash out. Yeah, good evening, Bill. I mean, the man never, and he's a man, the man never misses an opportunity to have to say hello, how you doing, all that. I'm very blessed to have him for a neighbor.
Yeah, and, you know, that's something I've noticed, too, is, you know, some of the people that I've come into contact with once I started working with this event and meeting different individuals. I was out the other day, and, you know, in our everyday lives, you kind of get tunnel vision. You go about your business, you focus on one thing, you do it, and you get out. And I was in McDonald's, and one of the people that I had met from about a week and a half earlier that actually is one of the people affected with Down syndrome recognized me. I didn't even notice that they were there, and I know that's awful to say, but they came across the restaurant, remembered my name, said hello, and were just as gracious as can be that I happened to stop into the same restaurant that they did.
Yeah.
And, you know, it tears at your heartstrings. And if we could learn a lesson from them and take some of that compassion in our everyday lives, things would be so much better everywhere.
Well, the point you said is kind of true, because sometimes I've got, you know, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, my brother Mike and I own the shop, and sometimes UPS doesn't get the parts in. Sometimes there's a lot of things that happen sometimes during the day, which I come home a little bit irritated. I talk to David when I come home. I talk to David going to work. I feel a little bit better about myself, and I'm going to exaggerate for a second. I can't help but feel a little bit about the world. That guy just kind of reminds me of what's important in life, and this little stuff about UPS got the wrong part or some company sent me the wrong number for the wrong part. This guy reminds me again, stop and smell the roses, like what I want to say.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep, to notice the little things that actually make a difference versus the things that we focus on that in the end a lot of times don't even matter.
I got you. I got you.
So, but yeah, we're trying to get as many people as we can to this event.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this, like I said, it's run by 7 families. All of them have children with Down syndrome.
Right.
And they do it out of their garage on a $5,000 a year budget. And every penny that they make, because they all volunteer, they send off to other families that if they have to travel someplace to have their children checked out, they give them a scholarship, basically, to cover their expenses to get to and from the hospital so that they don't have to worry about those little things. So
we have 90 seconds left, so we want you to take us out the rest of the show. Keep talking about this so people know what's going on, okay?
Okay.
We don't want you to break it down. Then we're going to kick it into, we're going to have the group blast through. What's it like? So keep talking, brother. You got the rest of the show.
Okay, I appreciate it. The place to go is imdsa.org. That stands for International Mosaic Down Syndrome Association. It's a nonprofit organization. 100% of the proceeds we get from our poker run on June 23rd goes directly to them. They've got a couple links that are listed as the KR Productions Poker Run. You can go to there, and they've got a little contest going. They've got a section for bikers, a section for car clubs, and a section for entertainers. They've got just kind of a fun little contest going to see what group of people is able to raise some money for them. You can go on there, give your name, donate some money. It goes directly to them. Great organization, great people. You know, hopefully we can put this event together and make it a successful event where we can even double their yearly income that they can help other people out with.
We appreciate that. We're going to have to lock it up right now, Migo. So give us a contact next Tuesday, next Thursday. Keep us up what's going on, okay, Ryan?
Will do. Thanks, Bill and Phil, and I will talk to you guys later on.
Absolutely want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. Everybody, talk what's on your mind tonight. And, Philip, take us out with a little Everlast, huh? Yeah.